Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
We're going to pray for a lot of meetings that are going to be taking place, discussions in different nations between politicians to do with Israel and the Palestinians and what's going on in the Middle East. This Tuesday was going to be the day that the Palestinians were going to be asking the UN and the nations in the UN to at least recognize them as a state. But that's now been moved to Friday. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Just going to read you a verse from Psalm 132. It says here, verse 13, "For the Lord has chosen Jerusalem, and he has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions, and her poor will I satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints will ever sing for joy." Now, God has a plan, and he's working it out. And Jerusalem belongs to God. And because it belongs to him, and the nation of Israel belongs to him, then he is working out his purposes, and everybody has to come into line with that, okay? There are a lot of plans of men going on at the moment, and a lot of decisions that men are wanting to make. And we're just going to pray and take a couple of minutes just to pray for what's going to be taking place this week, that God's plan and purpose and God's will be done, and that what man is trying to plan to do will not take place. Our government, as far as we're aware, the information that we've got, haven't made a decision yet as to what they're going with. But it seems like they're not going to agree for the Palestinians to have a state at this moment, which is a good thing. Now, this is not, when we pray, we're not praying against any people, okay? We're praying for God's purposes to be done. Now, Jesus died on the cross for the salvation of all mankind. So his heart is for every person. Doesn't matter what nationality, background, religion they are. God did something so that all men could know him. But God has a plan and a purpose in his word. He's spoken things through his word, and that's what we have to pray in line with, in agreement with. And so we're not taking sides here with any particular people group in that sense. We're wanting to pray in agreement with God and what his will is. So let's pray for a few moments and just give the whole thing to the Lord. And we're just going to pray for God's will to be done this week and for the plans of men to be thwarted, and that they will not and they will come to nothing in that sense. So Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. We thank you are Lord of the nations. Father, you have said things in your word, and because you have said things, they will be done. Father, we thank you that when you speak something, it cannot be thwarted. It cannot be stopped. I thank you that you are not a man that you can lie, that everything that you say and decree will come to pass. And so, Father, we know that in your word, you have said things about the nation of Israel. You have said things about the city of Jerusalem. And so, Father, we just lift up every conversation, every meeting, every discussion, whether in a meeting, in a corridor, through an email, however that's being done this week. And Father, we just pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven this week. We thank you that the plans of men that are not lined up with your plans will be thwarted and they will be hindered. Father, I thank you for a deep conviction this week in our own government that they will know we must stand. Even though they might not say this, they might say, we've got to stand with Israel, but ultimately because they need to stand with your purposes. Father, I thank you for a deep conviction in David Cameron and the other leaders working with him. Father, we just pray for other governments that even this week, they would have a change of mind and to line up with what you are doing and what you want, Father. We thank you for those that are undecided, that they would line up with you this week. Father, we also ask you that you would bring to light things that are being hidden in the darkness. Where things are being covered up, you would bring those to light this week. Where there's unrighteousness, where there are things that are illegal going on, they'll be brought to light this week. So that righteousness will be done. And so, Father, we give you that whole meeting on Friday. That the pressures of man will not take over, but they will succumb to your word and your will and your way. So, Father, we thank you and we praise your awesome name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Have a seat. Just this week, maybe take a few minutes every day. If you're not sure what to pray, just give the situation to the Lord. Say, Father, I just give you this situation this week to do with Israel and the Middle East. And just pray in the Spirit. Even if you don't know what to pray, just pray in the Spirit. Okay, let the Holy Spirit pray through you. And the Holy Spirit can then move and do things in different situations. Amen? Is that all right? Great. We, yesterday, as Pastor Jonathan said, a few of us, Pastor Colin, myself and Pastor Jonathan, and then there was Elizabeth Allen, Sue and Jess, and Emlyn and Diane. We all went up to Wembley Football Stadium, and they got a hall in there where you can hire it. And it was a Global Day of Prayer event, a National Prayer Day, and 1,000 leaders or so were coming together to pray. And, you know, God's doing something in our nation. He's stirring the church, stirring the body of Christ to pray. And it's great to reach out, great to have vision, great to want to see loads of things happen. But undergirding that is prayer. But undergirding that is a people that are revived, people that are allowing God to work in their lives, something deeper of who he is, being more surrendered to him, allowing him to deal with any areas in their lives that are half-hearted or lukewarm or compromised in any way. And we know that we have the fullness of who God is in us. We have the fullness of Christ. You haven't just been given a measure of Jesus. You've been given the fullness of him. You haven't just been given a measure of the Holy Spirit. You've been given the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at Jesus' life, we see that he lived fully surrendered. He had the fullness of the Spirit in him, but yet he said, I can't do anything of my own. I can't do anything in my own strength and my own ability. He understood that he had total dependence on the Father. He said, I can't even say anything unless the Father gives me the words to speak. I mean, that is being pretty surrendered, isn't it? And he says, I can't even do anything unless I see my Father doing it. And we look at Jesus' life and we see the amazing fruit and results and things that happen through his life. And all of us in this room, especially if you know Jesus, you probably think, now I'd love to see all the things that Jesus saw. But also Jesus said, you can also see greater things still. Wow. And so all of us in this room would probably say, well, I'd love to see that. But yet we don't see everything that Jesus sees or saw. And it's sometimes like, why is there a difference? If I have the same Spirit, if I have the same life, if I have the fullness of God, then why don't I see it? And there's a challenge in our lives that the difference between what Jesus saw and what we saw. Because Jesus said, you can do the same things as I have done, but even greater things. So that spurs me on a little bit to say, well, hang on a minute. What is there in my life then that is getting in the way that can stop God from manifesting or me seeing the things that God wants to see through my life or through our lives individually or together? And we're encouraged with the truth that we have everything we need for life and godliness. We have the fullness of Christ in us. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's the encouraging bit. But yet at the same time, we don't see the same things as Jesus. And there seems to be a lack, but yet there isn't a lack. But we see it as lack. And if we see it as lack, then we get confused because we think, well, hang on a minute, I must be lacking something. And it's not that we lack anything. It's really down to how much we're surrendered to him, how much we're submitted to him. Because where we're not surrendered, then there can be half-heartedness. There can be compromise. There can be a lukewarmness. that we're holding things back in some way for various reasons. And what one of the things that God wants to do in our lives is us to fully surrender so that we can see the things that Jesus did and greater things still. That's not a pipe dream. If Jesus said it, it must be possible. Now, some of you might sit there and say, well, I've flown in a plane. Jesus never did that. I don't think God's talking about things like that. You know, I've got an iPad, you know, or I've got an iPhone, or I've got, you know, Jesus. No, he's talking about the things of God being outworked in our life. Now, we're going to look at the kind of, what kind of God is he, okay? And what kind of nature and character does God have towards us as people? Because what God wants to do is reproduce that amongst us. Now, we already have, remember, the fullness of his life in us. We already have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. We actually have a never-ending supply of the Holy Spirit in us. So it's not that the Holy Spirit has filled you and then you've got a certain measure to work with. There's a constant infilling. There's a constant supply of life that God gives to us in our lives to live fully in him and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to look very briefly at what kind of God do we know? What kind of God do we serve? What kind of God do we want to be fully submitted to? Because as we look through just some scriptures in the Old Testament and one or two in the New, and what does that then mean for us? We're going to unfold that over the next 7 weeks or so on Sundays in terms of what does that mean? What does that look like in our lives as a church? And what do we need to do as a response to God's word? So that we surrender more fully to God, so that the life that we already have, so we're not surrendering to God to say, God, I lack something, I need something. It's no, I want to surrender to you so that what I already have can be more fully released in my life. Is that all right? You glad you came? Thanks, Pete. Brilliant. So we're going to look now, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Numbers 23, we're going to just begin there and look at a few verses. We're going to look at the kind of God that he is, okay? That God is a covenant God. Now, that's not a word that we tend to use in modern day language these days. Maybe, you know, when somebody gets married, we might use that word, because when somebody gets married, two people make a covenant. They make a binding agreement. They're making an oath. They're pledging to one another. Contract sounds a little bit cold, but a covenant is a contract, but it's a treaty. It's like a pledge, a binding oath that you're making when you get married. You stand before God, actually, and you stand before family and friends, and you say certain things to one another because you're not saying it from your emotions. You're actually saying this from your will. So when you're standing there getting married and you're standing before your husband or your wife there as you get married, and you're saying certain things from your will, saying, you know, I will honor you. I will give myself to you. I will serve you. I will build you up. I will be with you come hell or high water. I will walk with you in the good times and in the tough times, in plenty or in need, whatever the various things are. But there's an oath that's being made by two people at that moment saying, I will. And so you're putting your will into action there, and you're choosing in that moment to say, right, no matter what happens for the rest of my life, I'm going to give myself to you so that we can live together in this agreement that we're making, because we are in love, but it's not. But that love is based out of a will. I choose to give myself to you. No matter how old we get, no matter how ugly you get or beautiful you stay, or handsome you stay, or whatever. No matter how much money we have, how successful we are or aren't. No matter what comes against us. No matter, it's like you're standing there saying, we are giving ourselves, we're becoming one together. And if we just look at a couple of things. If I can find it, because I haven't turned there myself. Let's just have a look and see what it says in here. Numbers 23. Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind? Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Now, what does that mean? When God has spoken, no man can change what God has said. See, when God speaks, see, covenant, there's two parts to covenant. One is something that is said, and then it's followed with action. So covenant is words and action together. What does the Bible say here? It says here that basically God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man, nor a son of man, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? So when God speaks, he will always fulfill that with action. Always. God will never speak and then not follow up something. And so his word then, there's a number of things here. When God speaks his word, he's going to do something, and he will never break his word. Why will he never break his word? Because he is faithful. Because he is faithful, he will not break his word. He will not go back on anything he has spoken because of his faithfulness. Now, God makes covenant. God establishes something between himself and people. Now, we're just going to go through, really skim over it, right? Not going any depth. But how did God make covenant through the Old Testament in different ways? Just because one of the things when I was praying about this morning, I was very much wanting to talk about our relationships and sort of carry on. God just said to me, no, look, what I want to show everybody is how do I have relationship with you? What is my covenant with you? What is my oath that I've made with you as individuals, as my children, but also as my people? And if we understand how God is in covenant relationship with us, then we can see what that then means, how we work that out with one another. So God's not asking us to do anything in our relationships with one another that he is not already doing and fulfilling in relationship with you and me. And so I was loving this, just going through some of this stuff on Friday and last night after getting home from this prayer day. And then this morning getting up, it's like, God, you're so incredible. You are so faithful. Your love is just immeasurable in terms of your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, your relentless pursuit of your people, Israel in the Old Testament. But then what then comes, the new covenant, which we'll come to in a bit, in terms of how you are with us now. You are just so amazing how you never, ever give up on me. You never, ever give up on us. No matter how we treat you, you don't reject us. You don't say, I've had enough of you. Just get out of my sight and all of that. You constantly draw me back and you constantly show me your mercy when I'm out of sorts. And you're always ready to forgive, always ready to restore, always ready to reconnect me with you. You're always holding out your hand saying, come on, come to me. Because when you come to me, you're going to live in the fullness of who I am. But if you back off, you're going to stay in struggle. You're going to stay in strife and everything. And as I was reading through this stuff, I was saying, God, how on earth can we love one another like this? And God just said, that's why I had to take the heart of stone out and put a heart of flesh in you. That's why I had to move things from one covenant to a new one to so I could put my life fully in you, because in yourself you can't do it. But actually in me, I give you my spirit to enable you to be with one another in exactly the same way as I am with you. And I'm like, God, I'm sitting there saying, Father, I just surrender. I can't do it. And he's like, I know. It's brilliant, isn't it? And it's like, God, I surrender to you in a fresh way. I just submit to you in a fresh way. Submit to your Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, just baptize me afresh with who you are. I just give you any fears of allowing people to come in any closer. Whatever ways I might want to back off, or I'm not going to be open, Father, I just surrender afresh to you this morning. Holy Spirit, work in me and do what you need to do so that I become more open, more vulnerable, more honest, more whatever I need to be. Anyway, we're jumping well on here, but you're just getting a bit of the heart. See, God makes covenant with us because he wants relationship. So covenant is done for something to have relationship, but it's done in relationship as well. So there's two things. God does it for relationship, but he also makes covenant in relationship. So he doesn't just say, I want covenant with you and you covenant with me, just so you're going to be good people, good lads, good girls, good boys and all of that. He says, no, I want covenant so for relationship. And then when we come into that relationship, and then what we can live in, the goodness of God, the life of God, the power of God. So, and I love the way we're just going to look at through some different things now. Let's have a look. In Genesis chapter 9 for a minute, God made a covenant here. He actually made it with the covenant with the earth and not to destroy it again because of the flood. But he'd said certain things to Noah. And it's interesting how every time God makes covenant with different individuals through the Old Testament, it always talks about descendants. It's always generational from one generation to the next. So he doesn't just make a covenant with an individual that stops when he dies. It's no, from one generation to the next, I'm going to pursue mankind. I'm going to pursue who I've created. I'm going to pursue every tribe, every tongue, every color, every race. I'm going to pursue them because my heart is for every one of them to know me. So God's heart in covenant was always to bless and to prosper. But also, when you look at some different things, he wanted to bless them and prosper them so that the nations could also see who he was. So it wasn't just covenant so that they could be blessed and they could prosper, but it was also so that the people of Israel would become a light, a witness to the nations, so that they could see, the other nation could see who God was, what he was like through the people of God. And so that's the same now. Even though there's a new covenant, which we'll come to, what is that? God blesses us and prospers us so that we can live in the fullness of who he is, but it's also so that the world can see the kind of God that we know. The kind of God that we're in relationship with, the kind of life that he's given us, the kind of life that we can have together because of who he is, because of his nature and his character. So Noah, God said to Noah, never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And there will be a rainbow as a sign of the covenant between me, or between God and the earth. And so God made covenant with the planet. I'm not going to destroy it with a flood. I'm not going to wipe mankind out again. There's another way. Let's look at Abraham. Abraham for a moment. The covenant that he made again was to bless and to prosper. And he said to Abraham initially, he said, you're going to be a great nation for generations. I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Wow. But see, that's the word of God. So what happens when you come into a relationship with God? What happens when God makes covenant with you, makes an oath with you, and you come into that relationship, that covenant life? It says, I'm going to bless you and prosper you, but anybody that comes against you, I'm going to protect you. So there's protection in covenant with God. There's blessing, there's prospering. But he says, woe betide those who come against you. And so he puts there's a place of protection. We're going to see how all this relates into the next few weeks in a minute. Then Moses, the covenant that he made with Moses was actually to deliver the people of Israel and to establish them in their land. So the covenant he was making with those guys, again, to bless and to prosper. It's kind of building up now, to bless, to prosper, to protect. Now he's saying covenant helps deliver you out of Egypt, deliver you out of the stuff that has held your life down, restricted you, caused hassle or whatever. And in the Bible, Egypt often refers to sin, doesn't it, in terms of that God is the deliverer. He's the one that sets us free from sin, can heal us, forgive us, deal with issues that have been going on in our lives, whether you know Jesus this morning or not. He is the one who can deliver us from things that hold our lives, suppress our lives down. And so the covenant with Moses was one of deliverance, but one also to establish them in their land. And then we go on to David, And again, God's heart is here. Now, the covenant that God made with David, and this is where Jesus begins to be kind of talked about here. But the covenant would be, again, from generation to generation, that the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. And that's why Jesus is often referred to as the Son of David. And so God is saying, look, my covenant with you is that the generations are going to be blessed, but the Messiah is going to come from your life. There's something I'm starting here. There's a lineage that's going to come from you. And so the new covenant has begun to be spoken about at this point. Then when you go into some of the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, some of the other guys, that's when they begin to prophesy about the Messiah, the one who's to come, or about a new covenant. And that's when God begins to speak. If we look in Jeremiah 31, let's have a look there, shall we? Just Jeremiah 31 for a minute. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, after that, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. For the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. I'll forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And so what's begun to talk about is the new covenant, that God's going to deal with their inability to fulfill the law themselves. And it's like God said, I'm going to come and fulfill every law that I've given you. I'm going to fulfill it in Christ, because in your own efforts you can't do it. And when we look at Ezekiel, it then begins to talk about in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 28. It talks about God taking out the heart of stone and putting a new heart in them and putting a new spirit in them. And so that they may walk in my ways and walk in my word and be full of my life. So God's heart is relationship with you and me. But in the old covenant, if you like, that he was making to guys like Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, they could walk with God in that sense. But God wasn't in them in the same way that he wanted to be. And so in their own efforts, they couldn't fulfill, the people of Israel couldn't fulfill the law. They couldn't fulfill godliness. They couldn't fulfill righteousness. They couldn't fulfill being a holy people, because they had a heart of stone and that needed to be changed to a heart of flesh. How did that happen? That's when Jesus came and he took everything upon himself, the sin of mankind, all the separation that keep mankind away from God. He took the guilt and the pain of sin. He broke the power of sin so that we could be forgiven. So when you give your life to Jesus and you repent of your sins, you ask God to forgive you, you turn away from the life you've lived and you say, God, I need a new life in you. What happens? You have a change of heart. And he takes that heart of stone out that says, I don't even want to know God. Or he takes the heart of stone that says, well, I kind of want to know God, but I can't seem to match his standards. I can't seem to meet how... And lots of people who don't know Jesus think, well, I'm never going to be good enough for God. None of us are. That's why Jesus came. Because none of us are good enough for God, and we never will be in our own abilities. And so God understood that. He knew that. And so God's heart was to establish a new covenant which would give us a totally new and different relationship with him than the guys did in the old covenant. And then in Leviticus 26, because of this, God says that when I take the heart of stone out and put a heart of flesh in them, it's so that I will be their God and they will be my people. They'll be able to walk with me and know me in a completely different way, a relationship of intimacy, a relationship with I'm in them, which then enables them to be a holy people, because it's me that is in them as a holy God. That's what's going to enable them to be a righteous people or a righteous person, because they have me who is the righteous one in them. I'm going to enable them to be at one with me because I am the one who is going to be in them. And it's like God's heart, God's nature, God's character towards us is one that he constantly is giving. And as we see his heart with the Israelites, when they rejected God, he had to deal with them sometimes. And I think sometimes God has to deal with us, doesn't he? Because there is an obedience that is linked with being in covenant with God. Covenant is not just one way. Covenant's two way. The amazing thing about God's covenant with us, he'll never break it. And even in the new covenant, with what Jesus has done, it does talk about walking with God. If we walk with God, if we obey his commands, it talks about blessing. It talks about living in the goodness of God. So even in the new covenant, if we're disobeying God, we're not going to live fully in who he is in us. We're not going to live fully in how God wants to work in our lives. If we're living in disobedience or we're compromised or being half-hearted in different ways. And that's the sting, isn't it? Because sometimes it stings a little bit, isn't it, when we hear it? Because sometimes if we're not careful, we preach a grace message that if we're not careful is, well, God's done it all anyway, so everything's all right. So if I disobey God, well, it's all right. He'll forgive me. He's gracious. He's kind. So what? You know, and that's not what grace is for. The mercy of God is for that. The grace of God enables you to live in what he has given you. That's what the grace of God is for. The grace of God is not to see how close we can walk to some other lifestyle and still, you know, be in relationship with God and hopefully God. No, that's not what the grace of God is for. That's why God is merciful. Because when we do blow it or we do have a bit of a whatever going on for a period of time, it's God's mercy that reaches out to say, come on now, guys, you need to get a grip here in that area of your life. And then when we respond and God forgives, then we step back into the grace of God that enables us to walk in Christ, to live in Christ, to live a life of love, to live in the goodness of God, and to be who Christ is in us, which is releasing the fullness. That's what the grace of God is for, to enable us to live in the fullness of who God is. So, why did we need a new covenant? Because God's not going to put something new on the old. He had to deal with something old in order to put something new in. Now, we don't live in the old covenant. We have a new covenant now, okay? So what has that got to do with then the fullness of Christ? And if I have all of that and I have a new heart, a heart of flesh, as the Bible talks about, why don't I live fully then and see everything that God wants me to see in my life and through my life? And that's where we come back to what we started with. There's a place of surrender or surrendering. I don't know whether we'll ever be 100% surrendered to God, you know. But what Jesus does say is be perfect as I am perfect, or be holy as I am holy. So I think if there's a heart intention, it's like, God, I want to live in that way. Then I think God works that in our lives. And on the way, he shows us things that might be hindering that or might trip us up or cause us to live in compromise or half-hearted in different ways. And God shows us those things. I think if we're open and we allow God to work in and we deal with those things, then we live more fully in who we are. You know when you get before God and you begin to pray and you have a little, maybe you have a, I mean, we want to be like this every day, but sometimes we have seasons where God seems to, you know, I want you to just come aside with me a bit more, and I want you to press into me a bit more. And when you do that, God begins to show you things in your life, don't you? And you think, wow, I wasn't really aware of that. And you, in your own understanding, your own heart, you thought, well, I'm going for God. I'm living fully for him. Well, that's what I want in my heart. That's how I want to be. But yet when God shines his light a bit more, things are exposed, aren't they? And you're like, wow, I didn't realize that was there. But it's what we do with that. Do we want to stay there, or do we, no, I don't want that in my life. And as we, if we're quick to deal with those things, or Holy Spirit, show me stuff in me that is not right, areas of compromise, half-heartedness, lukewarmness, or whatever, then God will definitely show you those things. Because why does he want to show you those things? Because when you get rid of them, you live more fully in who he is already in you. So it's not that God, you know, says you're a bad boy, you know, and or you feel like all he wants to do is point out the bad stuff. No, actually, what God has done in you already so that you can live in the fullness of who he is, the goodness of who he is. And so the enemy, the devil, would like us to think God's a killjoy. God's just after, you know, putting his thumb on you again and telling you where you're bad, where you're not making it. You're not quite there yet. You're not good enough. You're not reaching the mark. Your standard of living in terms of spiritually is, oh, you're never going to make it. You're not in revival yet and you're not praying enough yet. And the enemy will always just go like that. Put the knife in, twist it, turn it and stick another one in for good measure. You know, when you're feeling bad enough, he'll just say, "Right, just make you feel even worse now, you know. But God's not like that. But when you walk with God, because he's holy, because he's light, because he's clean, because he's pure, it's like stuff happens. You're like, God, I didn't realize. God, I want to, you know, I get before you, forgive me. Work in my heart. I turn away from that stuff. I don't want that attitude. Forgive me, Father. I forgive that person. I let them go. I let whatever. Whatever it might be. And that brings a release. It brings a freedom in your life. Now, what has this got to do with the next few weeks? Well, part of the covenant that God has made with us as individuals and together, okay, is there's seven things we're going to look at over the next 7 weeks, okay? And different people are going to be speaking and over the next few weeks in terms of preaching this stuff and what God wants to do. But there's seven things that God has done. Firstly, now, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because we've been made one with him, because we've brought into relationship with him, the first one is we belong to him. Amen. We are his. He has bought us with a price. He's purchased your life, my life, and his currency was his blood that he purchased you and me for. So he's paid something for your life and my life so that we belong now to him. We're his possession. That's awesome. You're God's possession. And so he's bought you with his blood. So we belong to him. Now, what is God's... and if he is like that with us, that's how we can be with one another. So one of the things we're going to be looking at, what does it mean not just to belong to him, but what does it mean to belong to one another? What does that look like in our lives? Second thing here, it says that the Bible talks about love in a number of different ways. It says that he has loved us because God is love. So he loved us before creation of the world. Because in Ephesians 1, it says, in love, he chose us. So before anything was created, God already loved you. And it says, in love, he chose you. So before the creation of the world, he knew your name, when you're going to be alive, who you're going to get married to, what your family's going to be like, who are going to be your parents, the whole lot. Doesn't matter how you got here. It says, in love, he chose you. And then it says, and adopted you. I think the amazing thing about adoption is you're chosen when you're adopted. In the natural, you parents are your parents. You had no choice in the matter. But actually, when someone is adopted, somebody comes and chooses you and says, I want you in, we want you in our family. We want you to be part of our family. We want you to be part of us. And that's what God says about you and me. He chose us, said, I want you to be part of who we are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He adopts us because he loved us and he loves us. Another one. And so we're going to look at that. What does that mean to work out that kind of love with one another? Then thirdly, it says that he is our provider. He is our provision. In terms of, he is our provision fully in terms of spirit, soul, and body. But there's practical stuff to being, he is our provider and how he cares for us, looks after us in different ways. So what does that mean for us as a people? How do we provide for one another? If he provides for us, and that's a relationship that we have with him, that it is not just the God who wants us to obey him. Because first and foremost, he wants relationship. Out of that relationship, we want to please him, serve him, honor him, whatever. But in that relationship, there's provision. When you're parents, you want to provide for your children. And in that provision, you want to teach them and help them how to be good stewards and that. But your heart is to give. Your heart is to provide for them. How many of you got kids? A lot of people in the room. And how many of you know that when they leave home, it seems to cost you more than when they were at home? How many, anybody know that one? Yeah, we're finding that out with Joe. He's here this morning. And but you don't care. You don't think, you don't, oh, flip, you know. You're like, actually, we want to give. We want to provide. We want the best. That doesn't mean you do everything for them. But there's a heart to provide. That's God's heart. So what does that mean for us as a people? Fourth thing here. God is our defense or our defender. He defends us. He is our protection, as we heard. What does that mean in terms of the life of our life together to defend one another? How does God defend us? Has God ever spoken a negative word about you? Wow. Do you think any of us in this room fully live how God wants us to? So in that, has God ever spoken negatively about you? That's amazing, isn't it? Because sometimes we want another when people don't do what we want, or we, you know, but actually, God, more than any of us, would have the right to say, now, you know, have a word, you know, so and so over there, he never does what I mean. Holy Spirit, go and have a tell, go and let's. They don't, do they? So God is our defense, our defender. He defends us. So what does that mean? We're going to look at that. What's the reality of that? Fifthly here, God honors us. Now, we hear a lot about honoring God, honoring leaders, honoring one another, but actually God honors us. How does he do that? God honors us by giving himself and putting himself in our lives. He has honored us by putting his presence in our lives by the Holy Spirit. I think that is incredible. He says that you are temples now of the Holy Spirit. So God has honored you and me with himself. He lives in you. He abides in you. He is in you right now. I think that's an amazing thing that the Holy One is inside of us, right in this room. And so he's honored us with himself, with his presence. So what does that mean? How do we honor one another then? We can look at that. The sixth one here. God is faithful. He is faithful to us. He will never, ever let us down. What does it mean to be faithful to one another? And in the natural, this is all absolutely impossible, what we're talking about this morning. But yet, in God, it's all possible. How's it possible? God, I submit to you in a fresh way. God, I surrender to you. Fresh, and stuff's going to surface over the next few weeks that God will put his finger on, God will pinpoint, not to give us a hard time, but so there's a greater fullness of who he is working in each one of us, and then amongst us, and then through us. In one sense, this is completely opposite to a lot of the stuff we've been, you know, doing over the last few years, because we do a lot more outreach. The hub's just being done. The play centre's in. We're reaching loads of unsaved people. There's new ministries starting that going out into the community and beyond and everything. And it's, but at the same time, God's saying, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Everything's being set up. Everything's being, now, what I want to do is just do something amongst you now. And then boom, all of that is going to bear fruit in a way that you've just been dreaming about. And the first half of the year, God was focusing, wasn't he, in the 40 days about being people of habitation and cultivating the presence of God and being a place where God wanted to abide and everything. So it was that way, vertical, relationship with God. Second half of the year, it's like this part anyway, it's like God saying, right, now I want to do something that way. You're reaching out, you're doing all kinds of stuff. You've made space for me to fill the hub and the play centre and other things beginning. And you're making space for me to work. Now what I'm going to do, while all that's going on, I'm just going to do something deeper. And release more of who I am in you and amongst you. And as we just respond to the Lord, something is going to be happening. It's already happening in one sense, but God, there's going to be a much greater release of it. And the seventh one is forgiveness. God is constantly merciful to us. And he forgives us. And what does it mean to forgive one another? What does it mean to hold short accounts with God? But what does it mean to hold short accounts with each other, that we forgive others? We don't take offense. We don't get upset. We don't get all of that kind of thing. And what does it mean to live in the forgiveness of God, not just with him, but with one another? And so we're going to be looking at that kind of stuff. And within all of that, there's all kinds of things that are going to come out, I'm sure, to do with being a people of generosity and all of that kind of stuff with how we are. But there's seven key things there that are really if that's what's been established in a relationship with God, that is a covenant that he has made with us, then God wants us to live in covenant relationship with one another so that we live in the fullness of who God is, the freedom and the liberty and the life of who he is together. It's not, you know, some people, when we talk about covenant, think, oh, you know, are you trying to control me? If you talk about covenant, that's a bit heavy, isn't it? No, not at all. Actually, within covenant with God, there's total freedom. If you're outside of covenant with God, you're not in relationship with God, and then you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, and man, you're open to all kinds of things happening in your life. Certainly as an unsaved person, but God brings us into relationship and establishes covenant with us because he wants us to live in the fullness of who he is. But covenant with God is, I will never, ever, ever, ever let you down. I cannot go against my own word because I'm not like a man who could lie. I'm God. I am the word. I am the truth. I am the way. So what I speak is true. What I speak will happen because I always put action with what I say. I cannot speak without acting. Because for God, word and deed are together. You cannot just have word and you cannot just have deed. Because the deeds come out of his word and the words are his deed. And so they come together, the two. And so whenever God speaks, you know there's a happening about to happen. So let's stand together, shall we? And if we can have Chad, if you can just come up, mate. I love Jesus, don't you? He's relentless in his relationship with us, in his pursuit of us, for us to know him and to walk fully in who he is, in the freedom, the life, the wholeness, the health, the healing. This morning, I believe God wants to heal people this morning. Okay, so we haven't finished yet. And we're going to have a nice bit of music today. I thought it would be nice. Yeah. All right, just we'll play whatever. But I just want us to thank the Lord first of all. Okay? You see, he is the same God. Yes, he's the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. He's exactly the same God. It's not like he's changed because there was an old covenant that men couldn't meet in their own effort, and now he's a different God because of the new covenant. No. What it shows is his heart from beginning to end is for you and me to be in relationship with him. And the law shows us that in our own efforts, we can't do it. That's basically what it does. It shows us we can't do it. But the new covenant shows just as well, because Jesus has done it. And because he's done it, we can live fully in it. But not just live fully in it as in, oh, that's good, I'm sorted, I'm saved. But actually so that that life can be expressed amongst us in a whole nother dimension than we've known before. So firstly, let's just thank the Lord right around the room now. Just thank him that he is a covenant God. That his covenant, when he makes it, is to bless, it's to prosper, it's to deliver, it's to heal, it's to make whole, it's to establish. It's for you to, me to live in freedom. Just thank him for the covenant relationship that you have with him, that he has made with you this morning. Just thank him that he is relentless in his pursuit of you knowing him, of me knowing him, of us knowing him, that he never, ever gives up on you. Just thank him that he's never criticized you. Thank him that he's never judged you in the sense of he's made a judgment and you're just not good enough and he parks you over there. Just thank him that he'll never forsake you. He'll never let you down. Thank him. Just thank him that he is relentless in his pursuit of your relationship and his relationship with you. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. How many of you recognize? It's like I read what Jesus was like and I think, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be great to live like that? And God says, well, it's possible. It's possible to live like that. It's possible to live with that dimension of love, with that dimension of life, with that dimension of power. It's in you already. You have the fullness of my life. You have the fullness of my power. You have the fullness of my love. You have the fullness of my spirit. You have this morning. You have the fullness of who God is this morning. So in that place of knowing I have the fullness of God, just talk to him this morning and say, well, Father, I submit to you in a fresh way then. And over these next 7 weeks, Father, I ask you, you would work in my life in a new way. That as you speak over the next few weeks through your word, and as you show me as part of the body here, who you are and how you are with me, that it's possible to be like that with everybody else. And Father, I ask you, you would show me things in the next few weeks where I am in compromise, where I may be half-hearted, where I'm not really surrendered or submitted. Father, show me. I don't know how many of you are saying that to the Lord right now, but I want to ask you all just to talk to him and say, God, show me in these next few weeks. You know why we need to do this? So that we live more fully in who we already are in him. It's not becoming introspective. It's actually looking at who he is. And in looking at who he is, you realize, wow, God, I need to give that area of my life to you in a fresh way. Because I've realized I'm holding back. I've shut off, or I'm keeping you out or whatever. I'm keeping others out or whatever. So, Father, I ask you in my own life right now, I can't pray for anybody else, but Jesus, in these next few weeks, show me anything in me where I'm being half-hearted, I'm compromising, or I'm just, got a bit lazy-daxical, or whatever the word is, and just got a little bit cruising, or in third gear instead of top gear, or whatever it might be. But, Father, I thank you that as I respond to you, it's your grace that's going to enable me to live in who you are and the dimension of life that you have already given. So I'm then not trying to live this life of love. I'm not trying to live more holy. I'm not trying to do something. Father, I give up on all of that. I give up trying today. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and work afresh in me. Do something deeper in me than I've ever known before. I thank you for a fresh breakthrough in my life. Father, I ask you to revive me in this season, during this month, October and November and December. Revive me. Do something fresh in me, Father, as part of the whole body, so that we become a more revived people, so the reality of who you are in us is released even more than we've seen or known before, so that we live more blessed, we live more in a more prospering way, spirit, soul and body, but also, like your word says, so the nations may see who you are, the kind of God that you are. So my friends and neighbors, those that we're reaching, so that they also might see what you're really like. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of you, there's things that are just going to happen in your life as a result of how you respond to him over the next few weeks. So each week, whoever's speaking, what we're going to do between the Sundays is then spend time with God individually, working through the word and the different things in that area in our lives. So there's a real submission to the Lord in that way. So there's a greater release of his life in us. So it won't just be Sunday, but whatever happens on a Sunday morning is between Sundays, between the goalposts, if you like. We're going to work with God during the week and get before him in different ways. And so, God, in that area of my life, I'm going to spend the week just submitting, allowing you to work deeper in me, just working through. And as you speak to me, I'm going to live more fully in who you are, seeing a greater release of your life in my life, but then amongst with my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's going to be an awesome couple of months. It's going to be brilliant. God's going to deal with fears. God's going to deal with apprehensions. God's going to deal with hurts and with pain. God's going to deal with stuff that he doesn't want you to live with any longer, because he's already paid the price for it. And God's just going to release people from things, set people free in different ways. So, Father, I thank you for your amazing work in today and these coming weeks as a people. Praise your awesome name. Now, there might be people here this morning, you don't know Jesus, and you've heard about this God that wants to bless, wants to prosper, wants good for our lives, that he's not a God who looks down and judges and criticizes and condemns, people for every little thing they do, and is ready just to swipe them and everything. No, he is judge, and one day all men will be judged for what they've done while they've lived their lives. But what is happening now is God's extending his mercy. And he says to any one of us that don't know him, I want you to come to me. I want that kind of relationship with you where you can come into the fullness of who I am. You can come in to a relationship of love with me. You can come in to a relationship where you're going to know me in my goodness. So there might be people here this morning, and it's like, well, I didn't realise God was a good God. I didn't realise he was a loving God. I didn't realise he was a forgiving God. I didn't realise he was a compassionate God. I didn't realise I could actually have a relationship with him. I just thought he was somebody you guys turned up and worshipped and had a good time with, but didn't. I thought he was up there. I didn't realise he could be in here. Father, I just pray right now for every person here that doesn't know you. I ask you to quicken in their hearts right now the reality of who you are. Just quickening the relationship that you want with them. So this morning, I'm just going to give you a few moments. We're going to pray together and just talk to God. And if you're standing there or sitting there today and saying, I want to know Jesus, I want to know God. If that's what your heart is doing at the moment, I want to know God, then it's like you're ready to take that first step towards God and say, God, I want to give my life to you and start something with you today, start a relationship. If that's you, we're just going to pray together. Wherever you are right now, you can talk to God. And if you're standing, sitting, wherever you are, if you don't know God, but you're saying, God, I want to give my life to you, I want to take that first step, then just talk to him now. Firstly, just ask him to forgive you wherever you are. Just ask him to forgive you. Just talk to him, not just with your mind, but just mouth the words. Talk to him. Begin a conversation with God. Ask him to forgive you for the sin that's been in your life, things that have separated you. God asks you to forgive me for sin. Forgive me for living life my way, doing my thing. And God, I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you for your mercy. And God, I want to give you my life this morning. I want you to give me your life. I want that exchange. I want the old heart out, that heart of stone, as I've heard this morning, and I want that heart of flesh. I want a new heart, a new start in life. So God, I give my life to you. I ask you to come and be Lord of my life, number one in me from today onwards. Thank you, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to live in relationship with you for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody that prayed that this morning, just ask you to be bold for a minute. Just raise your hand so I can see where you are. I'd just like to pray for you. Anybody else that's responded to the Lord this morning, just talk to him. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray for each individual that's responding to you this morning. I thank you that you work deeply in their heart and their life today. I thank you for your salvation, your forgiveness, your goodness. Praise your awesome name, Jesus. If you've been praying and responding in that way, we'd love to chat with you afterwards. And there's different guys in the church down the front. We'll just talk with you, pray with you. If you've come with somebody this morning who's a friend, you've come with them, get them to bring you down the front, turn to them in a minute to say, hey, I prayed, I talked to God. And they can then bring you down the front. We'd love to chat and pray after the meeting. Father, I thank you just for your healing grace this morning that's at work in our lives. I thank you, healing isn't just physical or mental. Healing can be just in our lives as we respond to you. We then live in the fullness of who you are. But Father, I thank you in these coming weeks, as you work in our lives, sometimes sickness is connected with stuff that's happening in us. And I thank you as things are dealt with in our lives, then the symptoms just go and they get dealt with and get sorted out. So Father, I thank you for healing in these next few weeks in people's bodies, in people's minds, in people's hearts, in people's lives. That's just going to begin to increase. Father, I thank you for your healing grace this morning in people's lives. Somebody, you recently went to the doctors, you had a scan on your lungs, and there's been a couple of shadows that have come up in the x-rays or whatever they've done, the scans that they've done. And there's a couple of shadowy things there. And God's just touching your lungs right now and dealing with the shadows that have been on that. You haven't actually told anybody at all that you've been, and that's what's happened. I don't know if it's in the last few days that you've got the results, but nobody else knows. And you've just felt you've been in your own little world for a few days. Like, what am I going to do about this? And you have cried out to God, and God's saying, I'm your healer. I'm a covenant God. I'm a healer. I'm your healer. And he's just dealing with those shadows on your lungs now. And when you go for your next appointment, they're going to realize there's nothing there. It's been gone. It's been dealt with. So, Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that person's lungs this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had issues with the valves going into your heart. And you've been taking certain medication to try and deal with that. And God's healing you this morning. In the valves to do with your heart right now. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in those valves right now. I just speak to those valves to be whole and to be healed and to be clear right now in the name of Jesus. You've had one or two kind of heart pains as well in relation to that, and that has caused a little bit of fear in the back of your mind. What's going on? What's going on? I don't want a sudden, you know, thing happening. And so we just cut off the fear of death right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the healing right now of those vows. No fear any longer. Your life's not run by that. Your life is led by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you for your healing in that person's heart this morning. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hands for a minute this morning. Let's lift our hands to the Lord, shall we? Just worship him for a few moments. I know time's gone. It's nearly 12:30. Just surrender to him today. Father, I surrender. Come under your lordship. Rule and reign in my life in a fresh way. I just give myself to you. I thank you that you've given me your fullness. You've given me the best. You've given me everything of who you are. Father, my desire is that I want to live in you, live fully in you. And I want you to live fully in me, but through me as well. Father, I want to be a much greater blessing to every person in the life of the church here. I want to be a much greater blessing, Father, to all those that we're reaching out. Father, I thank you that you work your life afresh in me in these coming weeks. And Father, I thank you the dynamic of love and life is just going to increase in our homes and through in our life groups. And as we share and do life, as we eat together, you know, there's a lot of eating with covenant. You sit down with those that you're in that kind of relationship and eat. You know, if there's something not right, it's very difficult to sit down and eat with them. Father, I thank you that eating and fellowship and sharing of life and sharing stories of who you are and what's going on in our lives. And as we encourage each other, pray for one another, stand with one another. Father, I thank you as we respond to you, that greater release of your life in the body here. This dynamic of life and love amongst us. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Holy Spirit, we just invite you in a fresh way to move amongst us as a people, personally and corporately together. Thank you, Jesus. Let that life be evidenced, even this week, as we've been. Let it be evidenced on Tuesday in Little Builders, on Thursday and on Friday at Friday Night Club and Tea Dance and all the other things we're about this week at work. Let your life be evidenced increasingly over these next few weeks. We're not waiting for 7 weeks to go by and then suddenly what's going to happen. But actually, as you work in, more and more is going to increase of your life and amongst us and through us and in all our different aspects of where we're doing life during the week. I thank you, Father. I praise your awesome, mighty name. Come on, let's go. I've got a great shout. Thanks and praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.